News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Now, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories you may not have seen and give some analysis on some of those that you may have seen is our own Ciara Doherty, News Talk Daily host. Ciara, let's start with changes to stamp duty. Stamp duty relief might be removed for first-time buyers in October's budget.
Yeah, really interesting. This was a question that came actually from a Fianna Fáil backbencher, Seamus McGrath, and he called for the reintroduction of stamp duty relief for first-time buyers. That was abolished back in 2011, along with a whole other host of property-based tax incentives for probably quite obvious reasons that we don't need to go back over today. But what he was saying, and I can see there is truth in this, is that it's really inconsistent to have things like the Help to Buy scheme and the First Home scheme, which is essentially the government giving taxpayers money to help them get on the property ladder, and then to charge them stamp relief. So what you're paying at, or to stamp duty rather. So what you're paying at the moment is about 1%.
I vaguely remember that back in 2011 and around that period, the argument in respect of stamp duty relief was that if you gave the relief, it would effectively be immediately absorbed by the market into the sale price of the house and achieve nothing other than allowing the developers to make a few more quid.
Yes, and that's going to be the argument, I'm sure, that is made again this time. And the problem, I suppose, with abolishing something like stamp duty for first-time buyers or giving them this relief is that it benefits absolutely everybody who is a first-time buyer, including those who can well afford to get on the property market. And there are those who are out there. Does it actually really genuinely help those who are currently priced out of the market? Or given how constrained the market is, will it ultimately just push up prices again? It's hard to know. I suppose the problem is it goes back to always trying to put sticking plasters on the problem here. You know, the government trying to deal with all of the symptoms and not doing enough to deal with the cause. Does providing this tax relief do anything to increase supply? No, absolutely not. But is there an inconsistency? Is there a contradictory position here with the government to have these two schemes and then to charge stamp duty? Yes, you could argue that.
And of course, it is part of what seems to be starting to, the drumbeat would suggest, giveaway may be pushing it a bit far, but that it's going to be quite the generous budget. Talking about income tax changes coming in, talking about possible stamp duty relief for first-time buyers, all the while we are being told that we're already overspending. Anyway, former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has apologised for, said he's overstated his comments on rural Ireland. These are comments that in essence said, wind your neck in, lads, the urbanites are paying for you.
Well, you say he apologised. I would call it a qualified apology. Actually, if you really look at what he said. So, look, he was speaking to the Path to Power podcast. I'm sure you covered it here in the programme. He said, what's in the interest of farmers and the agricultural industry is by and large not in the interests of Ireland as a nation. That rural Ireland suggests are the real workers paying all the bills, and actually rural residents are in receipt of a lot of the subsidies and a lot of the tax benefits that other people don't get. It was extremely provocative, right? And I don't think went down well with any Fine Gael backbencher, particularly those in rural constituencies. What he has said to a number of the papers is he went too far, he overstated his case, he didn't set out to be divisive or offend anyone, and I apologise for that. However, he also said that he stands over some of the points that he made. And he said the vast majority of tax is paid in urban Ireland and 80% of our food is imported to the state. So I'm really sorry for what I said, but I'm just going to say it again.
Is this because he is now freed up, now that he no longer has the mantle of parliamentary responsibility and the power of the Taoiseach's office, and he's just going to be free and say what he wants?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people welcome, you know, somebody who calls it as it is or as he sees it. I think maybe a lot of people would have liked to have seen Leo Varadkar speak like that, perhaps when he was the Taoiseach of the country, although obviously he would have
Fine Gael backbenchers and rural constituencies wouldn't have been falling over themselves to have a speaker like that.
I mean, in some ways, I think, you know, where was this attitude, you know, when you were dealing with things like Mercosur back when you were the Taoiseach, you know, and you were speaking out against it and not saying, look, the betterment of Ireland is served by signing this deal. You know, where was that mindset back then, Leo?
On the topic of people who call it as they see it, Enoch Burke is back in front of the High Court.
I know, I sigh, this long-running dispute with Enoch Burke. So this is another application, right, about the Disciplinary Appeals Panel, which is due to sit this week and is due to consider whether or not Wilson's Hospital School was correct to sack Enoch Burke.
This is the school disciplinary panel. He's already had two of these, hasn't he?
Yes, but he's taken previous actions against those panels, right? And in fairness, the lawsuits that he took in the past did lead to the removal or resignation of certain panel members. Okay, so he was successful. This is the third time he is making an application against a new panel, and you just get the sense, perhaps, that Enoch Burke is not trying to bring this issue to a closure, that he is trying to frustrate it again, and you just wonder how long this saga goes on for and what actually is the end point here.
The other one, there is a report of a bank heist in Naples in Italy, which is causing fear in the heart of bankers around Europe by virtue of the creative methodology they used and whether or not it could be used in other countries. What exactly did they do?
Okay, this is a fantastic story, and I'm actually disappointed you've left it to the end. This is going to have Hollywood salivating. I think we all love cops and robbers stories from when we were kids. Basically, robbers in Naples, they went in through the sewage system and they dug a 40-foot tunnel that they had spent weeks digging into the vast sewage system that's 15 foot below the city. And that is how they accessed this bank in the centre of Naples. They are called Mole Men. They obscured their faces, I mean, I love this part, by women's tights and rubber masks depicting Hollywood actors, including Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who may be called in, I would imagine, to star as one of these robbers. And they don't know how much was taken, but it was vast amounts of jewellery and watches and gold and cash. And basically what...
So they come up through the floor of the vault, effectively.
Yeah, through the sewage system. Through the sewage system. I mean, I made the mistake of telling my children years ago about El Chapo, and they were absolutely fascinated by this story, and they love looking at videos of this underground network that was
built.
But
El Chapo had a motorbike in the tunnel, didn't he? Didn't he?
He had a motorbike, he had air conditioning, he had electricity, he had it all. I'm not quite sure just how advanced this particular system was, but basically what they're saying is, you know, forget the roof as an access point, forget, you know, an alarm system on the doors and windows. It's coming through the walls and coming underneath the floorboards. That is how modern day bank robbers are getting in. You need to upgrade your alarm system.
Ciara, thank you very much. That is Ciara Doherty, host of News Talk Daily here on News Talk, available, of course, on newstalk.com or on Go Loud, where you can get all of the News Talk podcasts.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.